This is RSBN The Update, episode 396, recorded Friday, January 18th, 2013. It's prime time. Everybody, and thank you for being with us today, this evening, this morning, whenever it might be, for RSBN The Update. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Hi everyone, I'm Trekkie. What's up, y'all?
That is right, and the sky is up today, as it should be every day unless you're floating aboard the International Space Station. My name is Shane12088.
And I am J1J2J3.
Yeah, such an easy name to type.
You still got that wrong that one time, remember?
Yes, 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 but that's bound to happen. I type too fast for my own good.
All right, let's get started. So, yes. It was this week, we have the release of the Kelphite King.
Which looks like a humpback Ultralisk.
Okay, didn't think of that, but okay.
Yeah, don't you think so? Kind of.
Too powerful for me to go by myself.
But that's the whole point of it. I went by myself and let myself die just to experience it. You should have.
Well, I'll let you talk more about the area then. You go first.
Okay. So, this thing has a combat level of 230. And like I said, it looks like a humpback Ultralisk. So, essentially, an Ultralisk with a hump, so kind of like a camel. And for anybody who doesn't know, it's basically a bug with a hump on it and two claws in the front that swing back and forth. And it looks like they're used for cutting things. There's three forms to it. And of course, the forms are discernible by the color of the wings. So they did do that. One thing that I thought of, reading about this is the colorblind people, because sometimes if you're colorblind, you can't tell the distinction between colors. So I, of course, didn't get to the other forms, so I don't know if it is discernible enough to be noticeable for colorblind people, but that's another matter. So this thing is not designed to be fought by yourself. They say it's not soloable, but I have a feeling that one day someone, somehow, will solo this thing. So, backstepping a bit to get there, this place is in the southern desert, further south than the Kelphite Queen Cave. You know where the Bandit Lodestone Teleport is? It's a bit south of that, kind of near the whole Desert Treasure Pyramid and mirrors and all that kind of stuff. So that's where it is in general location. Once you go down there, you have to run through a cave, just a small cave. It's not as big as the other ones. But there are exiled Kelphites down there. And the story behind this is that these Kelphites were kicked away from the main hive. So the idea is that these ones are going to prepare for war against the main Kelphites. So,
I was going to say probably because he lost a wife.
So once you get down there, as I said, it's a short cave. There's summoning obelisk to recharge, and then you can clear a rock so that you can use a shortcut every other time, so it makes it a lot easier to get to. Now, this is something that Jagex did that is a good thing. It's instanced entirely, which is a brand new thing for boss hunting in RuneScape, which, when you think about it, every boss hunting area in RuneScape should be instanced like this. So the God Wars Chambers, Corporeal Beast, Tormented Demons, maybe that sort of thing, Queen Black Dragon, they all should be instanced because it provides a greater amount of control for people who are wanting to go fight that area. and it prevents them from being crashed, and it prevents the whole thing, you know, of having to, on a Saturday night, you know, find an empty world to do this on. Rather, with this now, you just go to the world that gives you the best ping. Mm-hmm. So it's very nice that they let you do that. There's also two other constraints that you can put on this. You can set a maximum number of people that are allowed to join between 1 and 20. I don't know why you would want to limit that, but I think that you would want to bring as many as you can. Another constraint you can put on this is the combat level, the minimum combat level required to fight. So let's say you want people who are only level 200 combat, you can do that. And finally, you can put a passcode. So a numeric passcode, 1 million choices. So it's very hard in order to crack this code. Numbers are 0 to 900,999 inclusive.
All right, that's a lot.
Yeah, so the Calphite King is one aspect of this update. The whole system behind it is the other one. I just really think that it would be nice to see this branch out to the God Wars, specifically, if anywhere else, because you and I both know how hard it is to get an empty world to fight the boss we want to fight down there.
Especially when the bots are around, too.
Yeah. So the idea is you can just go get your kill count, and then you could create an instance of Bandos or Ceridomin or whatever you want. So I would like to see this technology brought to other bosses, if at all possible. And, you know, it makes sense given the way RuneScape is going, focusing in on all the EOC abilities and trying to make the game more mature from that aspect. So I definitely hope they do something like this. Now, moving on to the actual boss itself.
He's hard.
The Calphite King, yes, it is hard. If you're not careful, you will die instantly. So preparation is key. I'm probably not the best person to ask what to bring for this thing, because, you know, I was just going down there to experience it. But nonetheless, you'll definitely want to have a relatively high level team and abilities to break free of stuns, because this creature does indeed stun you. So freedom, I think, is a must.
Mm-hmm. Freedom and anticipation.
Yep. Anticipation. Also, another one is provoke, because there is a certain ability where if you don't draw the aggro from the KK, it will kill the person it's charging up on. So you definitely want to have provoke in order to, you know, pull away. So I don't know what the optimal number would be, but this is the first NPC that uses player abilities.
Mm-hmm. This whole thing is really just a big testing ground for them, for Jagex as well, to really test out the abilities, the ability bar, see what people's going to come up.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
The thing was, when I was killing Corporeal Beast, you know, that's why they were going to nerf a lot of the defense skills, was because we had one person that was just quote unquote the tank. He basically just stood there, let him get hit, and he never died. I was like, dude, you okay? Oh yeah, I'm still on full prayer, full health. Really? And I was like, okay. So I think this is what's going to happen, is that they'll finally have the someone who's supposed to be a tank and actually take the damage and be able to survive it. That's going to be
and this is the first intelligent boss, and that makes sense, as it should be, as it is in any other MMO. So,
and the thing is also, this one is supposed to do a lot of AoE damage. That's why all the devastating skills really hurt. So people basically have to pay attention. I mean, you saw the little behind-the-scenes video where he basically launched a bunch of bubbles into the air, and next thing you know, the whole team died. Like, ooh, ouch.
Yes. And there is one actual attack where it does kind of like a tsunami wave thing, except it's circular through the ground, kind of like an earthquake, I guess you could say.
Whirlpool?
No. It's like a wave going across the ground, and it'll damage you if you do that.
Mm.
And another thing it can do is it can burrow and then appear underneath a certain player.
Mm.
And, of course, that does damage as well. So.
Okay. Let's see. So anyway, so here's what everybody wants to know. What kind of weapons, what kind of drops does it give? It gives it three new types of weapons called the Drygar weapons. These are all 90 plus equipment. So you're going to need 90 attack or 90 defense, depending on what it is. These are very rare.
No, they're all just weapons.
Oh, I thought it was a shield too.
No, there's no shield.
Oh, well, these are all weapons that you need 90 attack to use. So this is really designed for high level combatters. And
it's a rapier, longsword, and mace.
Mm-hmm. And they also have offhand equivalent of it. So have fun with those. And they're basically designed to be dual wielding weapons in the game. Which, as you know, Shane, if you're trying to spike a monster, dual wielding is the way to go.
Oh really?
Yes, if you want to kill
a monster. I thought that was the two-handed.
Two-handed is better for AoE.
Okay.
Two-handed is better, way better for AoE. A lot of monsters in the era, two-handed is the way to go. If you're trying to spike a very specific monster really fast, like a boss, to dual wielding, it's deadly.
All right.
You can kill him really, really quick.
Just a bit of background. The accuracy values on these weapons are 49, 57, and that is for level 90. And then going down to level 70 for something like the whip, we'll talk about this briefly, 2384. So roughly double from 70 to 90. So you can see what we're going to be talking about in just a moment with the combat updates this week. But these Drygar weapons are definitely probably going to be the ones that you'll want to be using. I imagine the Drygar rapier.
Ooh, or longsword. Forget. Well, the thing is also, one little thing about this is that these weapons, like the chaotic weapons from Dungeoneering, they degrade. So what you you do have to repair them after a while. They're repaired by Chitons.
Which are dropped from the new exiled Kelphites.
Yes, so basically any monster in that area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically they drop a form of untradeable damage, but a smith at level 60 or higher can break this down into scraps and an anvil, which is also good for me because then I can actually have a reason to train smithing.
Yeah. And, are you on RS at the moment?
No, why?
Can you check the accuracy values of your Chaotic Rapier before the next segment here?
Sure, give me a second.
Yeah, that would be good if you could do that.
But also, if you do not have the chance, you can speak to Bob in Lumbridge or at an armor stand in your house to fix it up.
I like Bob.
Bob the Builder.
Bob the Lumberjack, isn't he?
I don't know. He's okay, though. Yes, only one who's going to get that is basically you, me, and Dano.
All right. So, while you log in to check your rapier accuracy values, these items were selling for a huge amount of money on the exchange because Jagex, for some reason, set the guide price too high. They set the guide price at 500 million. They've since dropped to roughly 250, give or take. So, I mean, once again, we talked about this last week, that the economic problems of RuneScape need to be solved with a free and open economy by removing the limits on the Grand Exchange and letting the players determine what values are used, or what values the items have based on their true supply and demand. Because starting something at 500 mil when the max coin cap in game is 2 billion really doesn't make sense when you think about it.
Okay, so and what do you want me to... sorry, go ahead. Finish up.
Rapier accuracy value. And I'm going to tell you why it's a stupid idea to start something at 500 billion, million rather, right now. This week, somebody got one of the Drygar maces and, you know, it had a guide price of 500 mil. They put it on the Grand Exchange for a price of $1.5 billion, and they got max cash, $2,147,483,647 GP. So
he's happy.
This is a perfect example of how the Grand Exchange needs to be reworked in order to be made less reliant on guide prices and hard limits on the upper and lower ends, and more so on the player supply and demand.
Oh my god. Okay, why? Let's see. Oh, nothing. Well, okay. So you want the attack, the accurate stats?
Of yeah, the just hold it until we get to the combat update part.
Oh, okay.
Now, one more thing that we also mentioned last week is that there's a bit of a disparity between these high-level items being put into game and the items you can get just through other Slayer, you know, and just general combat. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that 1.5 billion, even 500 million, even 250 million is prohibitively expensive for a little weapon.
Hey, you know, people spend what they want. They make a little.
I know. But
you realize that most people here have more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a decent amount in my bank. I don't consider myself wealthy in RS by a stretch. But regardless, these items get put into game, and then the prices stay around this mark. I don't understand how people are supposed to make the money to buy them when every skill in game really doesn't make enough money fast enough in order to accumulate this sort of wealth. It's like I mentioned last week, it's cyclical. You need to have the equipment in order to go bossing. In order to go bossing, you need to do that to make money. And then back we go again. In order to buy equipment, you need money, and so on. So I think that, yes, it's good to have these kind of things coming out based on high-level combat and nice drops and everything. But like I said, these sorts of things should be player-smithable. Make the exiled Kalphites, drop pieces of it that can be smithed with level 90 smithing, or maybe a little bit more, and then the players smith these items, sell them, and then the players that want more can go back to the Kalphite king, I did queen and king there, go back to the king, and then fight the king and get these items as drops, and then use those to further enhance this armor. Because if you look at it, smithing is utterly useless right now. As is crafting. Yes. So there's lots of skills that are kind of useless right now. It really needs to be fixed in order to bring smithing back to what it was initially intended. Because I don't think level 99 to make rune armor is a good thing, when you can go out there and get this piece of armor that's on the order of, I don't know how many times, but many, many times better than rune. Like, there's no use for smithing as defined. This needs to be fixed. And I'm not doing this just to complain or because I don't have the funds to go out and buy one of these. I mean, surely if I wanted to, I could equip myself and go and fight the Kalphite King. I have pretty much almost all the skills required. So, I mean, that's not the reason. It's just I'm more of a skilling type person, and I would like to obtain my wealth and items that way. So, I mean, I just feel this update really illustrated what the problem is with smithing and the economy in RuneScape. So I'd like to hear everyone's feedback on this, what you guys think. Like I said, it comes from the skilling point of view that smithing needs to be fixed not that these things are too hard to get. Because, like I said, there would still be reason to go fight the Kalphite King and get an add-on to make this Draugr weaponry a little bit better. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. I got a lot to say.
Tweaks and fixes?
Yeah, nothing really worth mentioning unless you can spot something.
Yeah, actually, a couple of things.
Monster thing?
That's one thing, but first, lots of untradeable objects can now be noted, including elf crystals. Special teak and mahogany logs can be exchanged at the sawmill, well noted. That's nice.
Yeah.
Dominion Tower rewards and untradeable potions can now be decanted, well noted.
Which one?
Untradeable potions can now be decanted, well noted.
Okay. Well, I actually didn't realize this. The rock throwing trolls on Trollheim Northern Slope are now aggressive again. I always wonder why. Always wonder why they never threw anything at me. This is weird. Either I got very high leveled or they all fell asleep.
Yeah, I thought they fixed that with EOC when I was going by there. So I didn't know that was a bug.
Several longbows references have been updated to shield bow now. Shipwright building alone gives a tier 4 shipwright bonus to ships with tier 1 or tier 2. Oh, that support thing. That's not really that important. None of us will get it anytime soon. Let's see. Anything with port? No, nothing really specific with port. Queen Black Dragon's Breath now charges range and drag magic. Oh, okay.
Dragonfire Shields.
Yes, okay. They now charge the range and magic Dragonfire Shields correctly. Okay, I was reading that completely wrong. And Mutage and Dinkos are no longer aggressive. Okay,
nice.
They were aggressive. That would be nice. Would have been faster for me for slaying. Slaying creatures that require a finishing blow have their health adjusted so you can perform the finishing blow at less than 15% of its health.
Yeah, I think that was needed with EOC.
Gargoyles.
Yep. I didn't have anything else in there, but if you do, go right ahead.
Nah. Free-to-play who lost membership while a pet cat was following them should no longer have an issue getting Ozan to follow them during Stolen Hearts. Oh, okay.
What?
I did not know that was a bug. Apparently, if you were a member and you went back to free-to-play and did that whole diamond in the rough thing, Ozan wouldn't follow you. Okay. Well, that's been fixed.
That's strange.
Yes, yes. Anything
Alrighty.
Else? Yeah, that's it.
So this monster weakness is a wiki page. It's nice that they finally put this up here because there's so many things in game. It's just painful to know what you're going to end up having to fight against and what to bring. I mean, because the Slayer Master only says it once, so you can't exactly ask the Slayer Master again. So we noted that water fans are weak against bolts, warped terror birds against slash, wall beasts against water. Let's see. Give me an NPC to look up.
Dagonath. They're weak against slash. Very weak against slash.
Dagonath is stab.
Think of the big ones.
Yeah, they're stab.
That you're thinking of the dad one. That's the monster. That's the boss one.
No, level 112 stab.
No, that's weird. Last time I went there, it was all slash.
No, it says stab.
For dad.
Stab, stab, stab. For which one?
I think they screwed up. I was just there the other week.
Dagonoth Sentinels are weak to slash. Are those the ones?
No, the one in the clock in the light tower.
No, those are stab.
Wasn't that before? All right, I'll just check on it later. Go away, you
Hello.
Stupid plane. Bye, United.
We'll talk about that later.
Dude, I don't know if that was United or not.
All right. So that's good. So you can access that on the RS, or on the RuneScape official wiki, rather. Moving on, Hattie and Skull have returned for another year. So as usual, the Hattie paws will grant double combat XP, while the Skull boots, I think, or is it? I don't know whether it's boots or whatever. I never used them. Will give agility and woodcutting XP.
I used mine up on agility. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, you see, I have level 99 in both of those skills, so maybe it'd be nice if I could send them somewhere else. But so those are out, so you can go and fight those, just like you've done the past 2 years in a row. Now, onto the combat updates, which we touched on last week, and we gave our thoughts and theory behind. Now that they're actually out, let's have a little talk about them. So, chaotic spikes for the Dragon Claws. Have you had a look at these?
I saw it, but I don't have any claws anyway.
Okay. Chaotic spikes require level 80 attack to wield, and they degrade the same way. Now, they cost 20,000 per spike, 20,000 tokens per spike, and you need one for each finger, so that's 5 per claw. So that's 100,000 one, and then for your other hand, if you're using both, that's 200,000 total. So that's roughly the same price as, say, a rapier or something. So I guess what this essentially did was bring claws up back to the level that they were before. But I thought I was under the impression that they were going to be slightly cheaper than the rest of the chaotic weapons.
You mean the spikes, or you mean the chaotic claws?
The spikes that you use for the claws. I was expecting that we would see the values be half of what they are, so it would cost you 100,000 tokens total for both hands, rather than 200. Because I don't know if...
Well, the thing is, if you buy the regular one and the offhand equivalent is 300,000 tokens, so you buy both of them, you're still 100,000 cheaper.
No. It's 20,000 per spike, and you need 10 of them total.
Okay. So that's 200,000 tokens, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, if you get the regular chaotic weapon and the offhand equivalent, that's 300,000.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going.
So basically what happens is the offhand equivalent is 100,000 because you're not using it as your main hand.
Yes.
The main hand weapon is 200,000, so it is cheaper.
Okay, you are right on that. I was thinking of claws as one weapon entirely, used to be. Yeah, they're one apiece now. So that's out, and I'm sure people are enjoying that. So that side of the update is good. Now, defensive values of armor and weapons have been refactored to provide additional effectiveness and are worth higher level gear and weaponry. NPCs also have undergone a similar treatment, so be warned when returning to tougher NPCs and lower leveled gear. All right, so what did you get for your chaotic rapier as a accuracy value?
3043.
All right, and that's level 80 required. Now, level 90 required for the Drygor gets you an accuracy of 4957.
Okay.
And the Abyssal Whip is something like 2483, and that's level 70. So you can see now it's more exponential, kind of the same way that your levels go, which is a good thing. But once again, coming back to the whole economic issue, anything above level 70 right now, level 80 gear, mostly, is expensive to achieve. So we either need a better economic system, or we need a better way to get the gear that's currently in game, like my smithing theory that I talked about, or we need just more level 80 gear. Because, let's face it, you want to be as efficient as you can be, and it's stupidly easy to get 99 attack or 99 strength or something like that. So you really should be fighting to your maximum potential, don't you agree?
Mm-hmm. And basically, there's nothing. Let's see. After a whip, there's really nothing unless you want to go God Sword weapons, which those can get pricey if you don't. They're not as pricey as before, but if you don't have the means to get it, then it's not that much that helpful. Ow.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is exactly what we've been talking about these past 2 weeks with regards to the updates. And, you know, Armadale Godsword, that only has an accuracy of 2384 as well because it's level 70, in the level 70 range. So,
I mean, so nice though.
I know it is, but it just makes the Godsword feel like a second class citizen, sort of, with this, which is unfortunate. Mm. But another thing, like the same thing going from level 50 to level 70 gear, it's horrible. I mean, melee is mostly fine, I think. I think so. Except for not being able to get level 80 gear as easily as we'd like. That's understandable. But ranged is hard at level 70. Dragon crossbow is level 60. And rune crossbow is level 50. And that's utterly horrible in terms of accuracy for doing any kind of slayer tasks. So we need more ranged armor in the game in order for this to be useful. I just wish there would have been some sort of ranged and combat equipment update to come out with this. Because as it stands right now, as a ranger, you've got about three choices. You've either got the Carl's crossbow, the pistol versions of it, the Armadale crossbow, which is level 70, or if you want to go for level 80, the Royal crossbow, which is two-handed. Now, I like the idea of the Royal crossbow from the QBD, but unfortunately, it's two-handed. So it would be nice to get some... We just need more...
You do have the chaotic crossbow, which is level 80, but that's...
Oh, right. I forgot about that one. So, two. But, you know, just with so many people at level 99 and all the combat skills, I think there needs to be more higher level armor. I mean, not armor, weapons with this.
Hmm. Yes. So, my suggestion, dungeoneering is good if you need some decent gear in the middle, but... I agree. I think there should be... I really wish there were some more wands that were elementally attuned to start using runecrafting to make those or something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every elemental thing is a staff, and it gets annoying when you have to cast now magic and fire spells. I would like to have, you know, my water tomb on one hand and my, you know, air wand on the other, and I just start casting infinite magic.
Didn't they remove that?
Which one?
The water tomb? Thing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think right. so. I didn't check, but I don't think so. But it would be nice to have some wands that could attune to one or the other.
Nice. Defensive values have also been buffed. I don't think this is as big of an issue as the weapon buff is, because you're able to compensate for your lack of armor value with food, familiars, and whatnot abilities. So... It's nice to see that everything was buffed like this. Torags is okay still for most combat, I find. But once again, if you're really wanting to be efficient with your Slayer task and slash through them, you're going to want level 80 gear. So.
Oh, then we should just do what Nero did in Rome.
What's that?
Kill every rich guy and take all their money and distribute it.
Sounds like socialism.
Actually, he more of just used it to build his giant palace, but then I can't remember what the next emperor was, basically said, all right, tear it down, sell the stuff, and give it to the people.
And that sounds like the emperor of Japan.
That's actually, they used part of that money to build the Colosseum.
Okay.
After they raided Jerusalem.
Well, with that being said, be warned when returning to tougher NPCs in lower level gear. Apparently this week, Mithril Dragons and Glacors were practically invincible.
That's nice.
Yeah, but it should be fixed by now. They did clarify that a fix was on the way, and with this being the weekend now, hopefully that has been rolled into game. And, you know, I definitely felt this update because I was on a Black Demon task doing it, and I was using ranged because, you know, you're supposed to use ranged against those things. And I was using, because this worked before, I was using my Rune Crossbow and Broad Bolts. But nowadays, no, that doesn't work. So I'm pretty much off of ranged combat until I can get a decent level 70 crossbow at least. So, Torva, Pernix, and Vertiskeer now have class-specific strength bonuses. And there's also an additional strength bonus when wearing a full set of Torva, Pernix, or Vertiskeer. The Bandos chestplate, Armadil chestplate, and Subjugation robe top have had class-specific strength bonuses added as well. So that's nice. So I guess Armadil is a decent form of weapon now.
I do like my Armadil Godsword. It's cool. Although I really want a nice crushing weapon. That's what I need.
Drygor Mace.
Can't afford it. Too poor.
There you go. Exactly.
Thought about the Chaotic Maul, but then I'm like, I don't want another Chaotic weapon. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll give Dragon Mace a try and see how that works out. I'm trying to kind of take a look if Sarah Doman's sword will work for with me, because that is a crushing two-handed weapon.
Yeah, I think it's pretty decent.
So I'll see how it goes for that one. Okay.
All right. Just a couple more things. As mentioned previously, regeneration is now 20% less effective, and rejuvenation now has a 5-minute cooldown.
I really don't think rejuvenation should have a 5-minute cooldown. I think maybe 2 or 3 seconds
before.
Yeah, I was saying it was like maybe 2 or 3 minutes should be better. 5 minutes just basically says you use it once, and it's basically what you consider the oh shoot button.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I'm thinking to Stowe and my engineer, and Miracle Worker has a 5-minute cooldown.
Mm-hmm. But this isn't Stowe. This is RS.
You know? I know, but Miracle Worker and Rejuvenation do the same thing, an emergency heal.
But the thing is, also in my head, it's kind of like you're using this as form of your tanking build. It kind of screws with your tanking build if you do this. But I don't know. I have to check with my clan mate and see what they're thinking of, because he was a really good tank with the Corporeal Beast.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I've been thinking of with this, is that I'd like to actually get into tanking now on RuneScape, now that it's actually possible in a decent way.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, and that's it for combat updates this week. So, moving on now to Players Gallery 41, the God Statues. So we just had another Players Gallery last week, but this is the one that was specifically curated to go along with the God Statues update from 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, first things first, look at this news posting. And the fact that they actually show all the different god symbols now. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
We got Sarah Doman, Guthix, Zamorak. I'm not even sure what the other ones are. I don't recognize them in this form.
Which, the last one?
The black one, the purple one, and the brown one, and the blue one.
I have no idea.
Not yeah, it'd a clue. Be nice if they showed us, but
I can't remember.
So, deadline for this is February 1st. So, if you have any ideas for gods or whatever, just send them in. Full information can be found in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com with the link to the post. in short form, JPEG, PNG, or GIF, email to gallery@jagex.com.
Must be, and of course, it must be your own work, no knockoffs. Minimum resolution is 1280 by 720.
Nice.
Winners will receive RS concept art signed by our artists, feedbacks or entry from one of our artists, and 50 spins. Two runner-ups get 25 spins. They should at least get a free t-shirt.
Well, I don't know. Feedback from one of their concept artists, I think, is a pretty big thing. So,
I mean, the two runner-ups, I think they should at least get a free t-shirt.
Yeah, they probably have lots of those kicking around.
Especially from RuneFest. Although, would you like to be wearing, I don't know, you gotta ask Daniel if he wears his RS t-shirt.
All right. So, let us move on. Let's see. Ceridome and Zamorak. Okay, the purple one is Armadyl. The black one is Bandos. Sarin is the blue one. And Marimbo, God of the Monkeys, is the is the one on the far left. So, Zaros is not on here for obviously good reasons.
Okay, then.
All right, and now this is just a warning to everybody in general to make sure your Java is up to date. JX put out a warning relating to the Java 7.0 day exploit, so definitely update your Java on your system, because having this around is not good, and it can let your computer be taken over. So
yes. So is there a way, well, while we're on the subject, is there a way for check to make sure they're up to date? Sure you
I don't know if the Java thing has a version number on it, but regardless, you should get a pop-up saying update your Java if you have it, so definitely do that if you can.
Mm-hmm. All right, remember, patch it up really bad.
Yep.
Okay, next one.
Next thing, Squeal of Fortune and Solomon. This weekend, construction training packs are going to be appearing more often, as well as lamps will giving XP lamps grant triple construction XP, and also a chance to win increased chance to win recharge gems. So be sure to use your spins this weekend.
Oh, I'm not going to get any of those.
Why not?
Bad luck.
Oh. All right. And on the Solomon store, Calphite Sentinel outfit, and also the Calphite Emissary outfit. So if you want to wear some outfits that are looking like the new Calphite area, you can pick those up on Solomon's store. All right. I believe that is it for RS News. Moving on to questions now.
All right.
We got two audio questions this week. The first one is from Zant.
Dear Shane and Trekkie, last week when I was training thieving at the Monkey Knife Fighters, I came across a very weird glitch. When I failed from the Knife Fighters multiple times, they send you into jail. But this time when I sent me to the jail, it took me out of monkey form, but I was still holding the Grigri. And this made my character do some very weird graphical glitches. When he walked around like he was moving his arms and moving his head like a chicken would. And I was sitting there just looking at it. It was very weird. But it was kind of funny at the same time. So my question for you guys this week is, what are your favorite graphical glitches on RuneScape, or what do you think the most funny one is? Thanks for answering my question. Bye.
I got right, two sure. of them.
All right, you go first.
The first one, back when they started upgrading all the models for everything, This was before RSHD came out and the models were being upgraded beforehand. We were all gathered in a common area, and Mike had Infinity Boots, I believe they were. And whenever he'd walk, you know how you typically, when you walk, you see a bit of a space between the ground and whatnot. His shoes were sticking to the ground. And then when he would do an emote where he'd jump up in the air, they'd still stick to the ground. So this led to the sticky shoes screenshot.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. And the other one was when farming came out. There was an issue where on your orange trees, if you entered the map square and it didn't load properly, you would get nuclear orange trees. So orange trees glowing bright green.
That's funny. Did you eat any of them? It became the Incredible Hulk?
No, we left them on the tree.
Let's see. One of my favorite ones was during the RuneScape 2 beta many, many years ago when it first, and when they released the party hat to the public for them to wear and try it out, the party hat actually shrunk. So instead of having a party hat that would fit your entire head, it literally became like a cupcake size on your head. If you look back on those pictures, you'll actually see people during the beta who had the party hat. The party hat was really tiny. It was basically, you know, one like the you ever see those like little cake, like cookie crowns on Christmas?
Yeah, the cupcake holders.
Yeah, it was basically that size on the head. That was really funny. My favorite one during the beta was you can duplicate items like crazy. Back then,
a graphical glitch, is it?
Well, no, but it was really funny though because I ended up getting like a million dragon mediums. Because back then, during the beta, if you actually went to make X and type in whatever number, that's how many of it came up. That was funny. So I was like, dude. Hey, you want some dragon meth? We started having like drop parties everywhere. We just kept make drop. It was just stupid. It was stupidly funny. But my favorite graphical glitch was when you had the carpet ride and your feet would stick to the ground. And so as you're going on a carpet ride, it looks like you basically got really, really tall. So you were in the air, but your legs were still on the ground. So your feet were still on the ground, but your legs became 6 feet tall. That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's lots of glitches we could go back on, but there's two from each of us.
There was one, not a really big graphical glitch, I think it was more of a login thing, but one time I logged in, it was taking a really long time to log in, and suddenly when I got into the game, all my non-combat stats were 120, and all my combat, like attack, strength, HP were all 1. I was like, I'm okay with that. I can get combat back up.
Yeah, that's because they set it graphically on the panel before it loads, then it retrieves it from the server. So that can happen with lag.
I know, but it was like, I wouldn't mind having 120 dungeoneering and 120 farming and fishing and all that. Can you imagine how many rocktails I would get?
Yep.
I'll be the master dungeoneer. Wouldn't survive very long, but I would be the master dungeoneer.
Thank you, Zan, for that question. This next one is from Brian, who seems a little confused.
Dear Paul, Trekkie, and Uncle Dano, which NPC in RuneScape do you think needs voice? This question comes from me using Taverly Bank and noticing that while the bankers have the same dialogue as the ones all around the world, they're the only ones with voice. Also, Tool Leprechauns would be pretty interesting and hilarious with voice. Can you just imagine? Thank you, Brian.
Aye, 'tis a fine day to be farming, eh? Want me to hold your tools for ya?
No, I'm good. You probably end up losing it, you drunk, crazy fool. So what NPC would you like to have voices?
The farming leprechauns are good. I don't know. Maybe the wise old man?
I was thinking that too. I wouldn't mind hearing the wise old man like, gather around, children. Hear the tales.
Maybe he sounds like Uncle Dano.
Nah. He's too young. The wise old man is too young. Let's see. Who are a good NPC?
Well, I don't know. Banks would be interesting.
I would guess some of the guards. Because can you imagine as you're doing thieving, it's like somebody's like, get your head out of there! Get your head out of there! That'd be annoying. It's crazy, but it'd be funny.
Yeah. Or the drunken dwarfs.
All you hear is hiccups. Actually, all they need to do is just head down downtown London. I'm sure they can find someone. Don't even need to pay them. Just have a recorder and just record whatever they say.
No, but I would like to, of course, hear, like Brian said, the bankers, the farming leprechauns, and maybe even the farming guide people have a voice. But in general, I think the most important things to voice are quests. I don't know how that happened, but...
Which dialogue were you trying to speak over the, right then and there?
I wasn't trying to speak anything. I have no idea what came out there, but...
Actually, for me, though, I wouldn't mind having the Slayer Masters have a voice.
You know, oh, yeah, that'd be interesting.
You go there, and all right, now you have to kill fire demons. That'll be an interesting little tidbit. And yeah. Let's see. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about who you interact most with in the game, it's probably a banker or whoever you skill with. So those are good choices. Alrighty. Thank you for the audio questions, you two. If you want to send us an audio question like Zand and Brian did, you can do that in three ways. The first way is to send it to questions@rsbnb.com as an attachment. Waiver MP3 is ideal. Or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the username rsbnbupdate, which I might add more people are going to be able to do coming up once Messenger gets disconnected, so that's nice. Or if those don't work for you, if you don't have a microphone and you live in the U.S., you can phone your question into our voicemail number, which is 571-572-2632, or conveniently remembered as 571-57-BNB.
Okay.
All right. Read the first text question, please.
Alrighty, so this question is from 7 Experience. Shane, do you ever plan on getting your prayer up? And what makes farming so fun for you? I'm asking about prayer because I'm training it as we speak. I have 93 at the moment.
Well, I am currently working on prayer. I'm level 97 right now. I have put it on hold for a bit, because I have roughly 11,000 ashes left to go. And, you know, in the past, I've felt that when I rush a 99 that I don't exactly like when I rushed magic, for example, I really didn't see the point in doing that. So, I don't know, I just feel like there's no need to rush, and I'll enjoy it more if I just get it at a leisurely pace. Because who's going to train prayer after level 99 when it's so expensive? So, I'll get it sometime this year, maybe the next couple months or so, but it's no rush right now.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yep. Or if there's a prayer skill a month, I'll maybe enter that. But as for farming, it's so fun. Because it's one of those secondary skills, you know, that you can use to train other skills. And if you do it right, you used to be able to make a lot of money off it. You can still make money now, but not as much. So it's still fun in that regard. Mm-hmm. The key that I like it to not get any board from it is to completely change the run each time I do it, starting at a different point, ending at a different point. So that's essentially why I joined farming and why I have 40 million XP in it.
Mm. Okay. That pretty much answers the question. So.
Yep. Next one is from Duke Juker. Dear host, do either of you guys use LinkedIn? If so, do you have a lot of connections? If not, why not?
Well, Shane, do you have one?
No, I don't. I don't have LinkedIn, primarily because it just never crossed my mind, and it's not something that people I know put time into. So,
as for me, I have a LinkedIn account, but honestly, the only reason I have it was because when I was interning at the hospital, they asked me to take a look at it and see what was good about it. So I just made one for myself and kind of showed them how it is. But that was pretty much it.
Okay.
Funny thing was that it was kind of funny because LinkedIn started sending me messages about some of my old classmates. Like, oh, dang, this thing actually connects you with people you know.
Yeah, the way I understand LinkedIn is it's a more professional form of Facebook.
Yeah, that's the idea. The idea behind it is you're supposed to kind of connect with people who are in the field that you're looking for. So if you're quote-unquote hiring, what you can do is go onto LinkedIn and say, hey, I'm looking for people who are blah, 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 blah. Can you show me some who may be qualified? And if you pay, they show you a giant list and you can pick people out here and there. Or the other thing is, if you need someone for a specific task, you can kind of, again, kind of LinkedIn, Google it, and see what pops up. Again, it's one of those you pay and get some benefits from it, but I don't see that many people actually pay to use it. But then again, I don't know. Maybe if you're higher up, you would, but.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, so far I've seen it's people just basically upload their experience and resume and just leave it there, and try to connect you with classmates and coworkers kind of thing.
Yeah, but the thing I'm wondering is if businesses are actually using this as a form of new technology, or if they're just still pursuing the old-fashioned method of hiring. I don't know.
Well, if you don't apply, you don't get anything. So. It's one of those things where it's like, you're at the interview, you have a lot more, but you know you don't want to spend an hour at an interview telling about your life experience. So basically say, hi, here's my LinkedIn account. Here's all of my whatever I've done within the past, 5 to 10 years. Here's some more information on me. Have some examples of my on there's also portfolios of some of the work I've done. So it's basically. What you can do is, instead of spending an hour, you basically send them to the site and have them take a look at you.
Right.
So basically, it's more, quote unquote, professional than Facebook. So.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Duke Juker. All right. You got the next one.
All right. All right. Question from Mamska. Dear host, Mamska here again. My mother is going to New York in a few months, but Shane, before the hate, let me go on first. The very next day, she's going to Canada. By car, I assume. Oh, yeah. My question is, what should she do to experience that side of the country that shouts Canada, in essence? And by the way, do you have Gold Premier membership? I have. And what special side dishes will we have once the Chinese buffet show's coming up? Take this question out if needed. Thanks for the show.
What? I don't get
what
that.
What special side dishes will we have once the Chinese buffet show's coming up? I don't know.
Yeah, scratch that then.
Is there a Chinese buffet in that area? I don't know of any in New York.
I have no idea. Well.
No way.
That's such a nice sound. All right. Well, given the fact that it's New York, that will either be Quebec or Ontario, depending on where you cross and where you're going, or where she's going, rather. On the surface, it looks a lot like the U.S., but it's actually pretty different. So I would have to say that if you can, definitely head on into Ottawa, because that is our nation's capital. And there you'll be able to see the differences between the U.S. and Australia and Canada and compare and contrast them all. And depending when you're going, they might have some interesting things going on at Parliament Hill. And you can actually go there and you can see it and basically experience how this country formed and how it's different from the other countries. So that's a good way to experience it. I myself haven't been out east that way, so I don't have any specific suggestions. But if I was going that way, the only reason I would be going that way would be to see Ottawa and see what they have around there. So,
and whatever you do, do not go toward the French people.
That's in Quebec, right across the Ottawa River.
I know. Don't go that way.
You can cross a river and you can be in Quebec.
Yes, but no one wants Quebec.
Some people do. They've actually been behaving themselves recently.
Mm-hmm. And do you have Gold Premium membership, Shane?
Yeah, I'll be getting that shortly in the next week or so. So yeah, yeah, I will be purchasing it.
Yeah, same here. It'll save me a little bit of money.
And plus, you get the extra rune coins, and you get entered to win that trip to Cambridge.
It ain't me. It ain't me.
Well, it could be. It could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's only if the moon and the planets align a certain way.
You want me to bless your RuneScape account?
No, last time you blessed my keys, it didn't go as planned.
All right. Thank you, Maremska. All right, this question now is from Scream Truth. Hello, host. It's me again this week, and I have a question more on Trekkie's side of things. What do you think about the update to Dungeoneering that would act like dungeon raids of World of Warcraft? I know that RuneScape isn't WoW, but I think that raids could take place once a week or once a month and would be a really awesome update for the endgame tier of players. How it would work is that you and a party of five or maybe more would run through as many floors as you can with up difficulty and high token and high XP rewards. Maybe more. What do you think? What could you add to make it better? Thanks. Scream Truth.
Shane, so you want to tackle this really quick?
No, you're the dungeoneering person.
All right. So far, I don't think this is going to work. The thing is that unless you have the super group who can do a floor in, you know, under 10 minutes, no one is really going to be doing multiple floors all at once with the same group. And so the problem with this one is most people now, the average I've been in is around roughly, you know, 45 minutes or so. I don't think people are going to sit on their computer for the next 5 hours to do a dungeon run in RS, especially with people they don't really know. You know, for people who are...
That is true.
Who are, you know, truly experienced with the whole Skype, TeamSpeak, Ventrilo, whatever, yeah, they can breeze through, you know, 20 dungeons and, you know, in that same amount of time. Problem is, do you really want to do that for that long? I mean, what I would suggest they do if you want to try and approach this way is, let's see, if you want to do a dungeon raid, what I think is they should really do is maybe start open up some more dungeoneering places in around the map in 7-1 central location. Basically, you go there and kind of go, hey, I'm going to start a dungeoneering group to go into this dungeon and fight the boss at the end. Instead of, you know, like this boss will only these three bosses will drop whatever thing at this area and so on and so forth. Kind of like what dungeoneering
is
now.
So you're saying dungeoneering around in different locations, like to just do little dungeons or...
Yeah, that kind of thing, and you know, you can have, and you actually get benefits from it that you can use outside of the dungeoneering world. So okay. You know, like, so basically, you'll have, you know, you need level, you know, 21 dungeons. You go into this dungeon, like, you know how they have all the resource dungeons. Those are great, but they're more for just getting stuff. What I'm saying is, you have other mini dungeons. Like at the end, it's part of like a little storyline in the whole thing. Instead of just going in, killing whatever, and finishing it up. So you basically have,
I completely agree.
And so you have the dungeons that are like, all right, this is designed for people who are between level, you know, 10 and 15. It's not super hard, but you know, it'll be challenging for you and good experience. You get some maybe a lamp or two that is completely random, and you get maybe a nice weapon or, you know, a scroll to use for non-combat skill. And, you know, there's maybe around 10 dungeons around the world that, you know, as you're going through the dungeons, it's basically one giant storyline. It's basically a whole new quest line for people who like it. And so you get up to 120, you basically fight this super big boss that, you know, will give you, you know, Mondo experience and enough gold for you to buy some of the stuff. And of course, you know, you need to have well-rounded skills in order to do them properly. So it's basically still a group effort.
Okay. So overall, you think something like this would be better on a smaller scale, somewhere else in the world, not specifically related to the main Dungeoneering storyline then?
Yeah, because the way I didn't play WoW, but I'm assuming it's kind of like how Guild Wars 1 was kind of is, that you had a dungeon, you went in, fought whatever, and whatever you get a chest at the end. So kind of like the same idea with putting it into RS with their own little spin. And you have your own little quest line going on, actually doing all the dungeon runs and everything else. So it'll make it more engaging, because you want to know what's going to happen next. Which
exactly
gives you an incentive to actually do more dungeons and, you know, get some more tokens and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure if they started doing this to release like level 80 gear, I'm sure Shane would be partnering up with me really quick.
Yeah, the problem, the reason I don't do dungeoneering right now to get my chaotic rapier is I don't like degradable weapons.
No, well, I'm saying the new stuff, see what happens.
Yeah.
Almost, I don't know, for every weapon now, there's, unless except for God Wars stuff, they're all degrading. I guess it's, they wanted
well,
to do a little funny stuff.
I mean, Barrow's degrading is okay, because that's an easy repair. The thing I don't like about the Dungeoneering ones is that you have to spend tokens or money on them to repair, and as I recall, it's a huge amount of money, right?
No, you can do both, a combination of both.
Yeah. See, you know, and that's the thing, I don't feel like that it's worth spending that much. Do they degrade? Like, they degrade at the same rate as Barrows, right?
I don't know. I never bothered.
Okay.
I think 10 hours of use, that's what.
Yeah, there you go.
Standard for RS.
So. All right. Well, thank you, Scream Truth, for that question, and thank you, everybody, for your questions.
All right. Now,
so,
tech news.
Yes, tech news. Facebook graph search. This is interesting. Oh, yeah, I know. It wouldn't it be great if they sold this technology to the U.S. government and all the data associated with it?
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how many drunk pictures there would be?
Yeah, and that's the thing. So you got to question the legitimacy of the data, of course, and how much of it is useful, for one thing. But in general, it's a good kind of algorithm to know about. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody tries to license this from Facebook, like the NSA or CIA, for example. That would be very interesting. But anyways, back to Facebook. Essentially, what this will do is it'll search your network of friends and then essentially your social graph. And then based on this, you'll be able to filter it what you want to find. So, for example, filters include place type, liked by, visited by friends, for example, as a few more. There's also friends of my friends who are single male in San Francisco. That's one of the examples here. And that apparently returned a select group of people who fit the criteria. So, essentially, it is very granulated search tailored exclusively on you. What do you think?
I really don't care what Facebook does. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't use Facebook. I have no intention of ever really using it. They do what they want. I really don't care.
I don't think I have any... Go ahead.
I'm just thinking, you know, it's going to be one of those things that you're going to try and use to get people on a blind date or something.
Yeah, potentially. I can see that going this way. So
I just, it's not me.
Like, one of the use cases that, I personally don't see any use cases for this, but I mean, I'm sure if I had the data behind it, and maybe I had, like, the same kind of employer thing, maybe, if that's what we were looking for, maybe, then it might be useful to me. But, I mean...
It's more socially based, so it's kind of like, oh, hey, I'm looking for a good place to eat. You don't want to, and your friends may not be at Facebook at the time, but, like, they may have taken a picture or said this place was good or something, and you're like, oh, hey, this place looks decent. Let's go here. And
yeah.
That's more socially based. Who I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I really don't care.
But, you know, it's the next logical step, because Facebook just doesn't want to be a place to share statuses and post pictures. What they want to be is they want to be a website where you can go to use it as, like, your personal guidebook that's tailored explicitly about the people around you. So, that's their strength in this. Now, go ahead.
Oh, no, you finish up first. It's not as
okay. Fun. I was going to say, it's okay that Facebook does this. It was the next logical step. But people have been saying, what is Google going to do about this? And the answer is that Google already has a solution to this. Everybody who's logged into Google and searching, you have the option to use Google Plus. And for people that do use Google Plus, you can bet that one day those searches are going to be included in your main web searches by default. Right now, that's an opt-in thing. So in a way, Google's kind of doing a more intelligent version of this without you needing to ask for the specific, like it said, the specific filters. So Google's already doing this. And it's also worth noting that for all product reviews or restaurant reviews or something on Google Maps, that goes through Google Plus now.
Mm.
So it makes sense where Google's going with this, and people say Google has to be worried, but the answer is no, they don't.
Google's not worried. They make more money than Facebook anyway.
Exactly, and Facebook probably is still looking for a way to make money with this.
Yes, which I was trying to say. I just took a look at their stocks. They're still not. They're still under $30 a share. So, the highest one was $30.44. Right now is $29.66.
Okay.
So they're still hovering, but it really doesn't look they've gone up after this announcement. It kind of stabilized or went down slightly.
Okay. Are we done with Facebook?
Oh, I was done with them a long time ago.
Alrighty, moving on. Instagram is doing just fine with 90 million, roughly, users per month.
I can take crappy pictures with my phone and make them even look worse. I can make it look blurry. Yay. You want to make it look blurry? Just start shaking your phone as you're taking the picture. Simpler.
Yeah, and you... like. I mean, I'm sure there are people that like Instagram and everything, but personally, for me, I don't see the point of taking a photo and reducing its quality by adding some filter to it. What if in 20 years you want the original photo? That doesn't make sense to me. But anyways, regardless, 90 million users is a little bit down. Their last report was at about 100 or so, but... it just shows that there was a privacy concern back in December, and really it didn't affect them at all, at least not in any meaningful way. So people are happy with Instagram, and remember, Instagram is also owned by Facebook here.
Mm-hmm. So there, man.
Here's some quick stats. Instagram sees 40 million photos a day, 8,500 likes per second, and 1,000 comments per second. Oh, and likes can speak to 10,000 likes per second. So, indeed, it is just fine.
Okay.
All right. Now, a bit of this is kind of tech news, but it's kind of off a bit. It's tech news in that it's a brand new piece of technology, then it kind of just shows the limits of what can go wrong. But Boeing has its new fleet of 787 Dreamliners. The entire fleet in Japan, Europe, and the U.S. is grounded due to technical issues, which is more than just the little teething pains that were expected. Essentially, what's been happening with them is that they've been having a bunch of issues, from brake issues, window issues, fuel line issues, and then the biggest issue is a battery issue where, in two separate cases, batteries have caught on fire and filled the cabin with smoke. So it's definitely a concern that they get this fixed before they put them back in operation. Right now, the culprit expected is that the batteries that are catching on fire are simply just overcharged.
Well, anything new always has technical problems. So they're just
Not this big. Boeing really hasn't had to ground new set of planes like this for quite some time, and I think the last grounding on this level happened in the 1970s. So, definitely something to be worried about for them and affecting public perception. So let's just hope that they get this fixed, because the Dreamliner is actually a pretty nice plane.
It's really big, too.
Big. It's the replacement for the 767 and the smaller version of the 777. The 777-200.
Yes.
Another reason why this is happening is, just like any new piece of software, it's completely redesigned from the ground up. I mean, it's not even made with the usual materials. It's made of composite materials and whatnot. So.
And as anything new, you don't know what's going to happen until you actually start flying it.
Yep.
And that's why there's always a bunch of recalls, because no one can think of everything. You prepare for the worst, but it's what you don't prepare for that really, proves if you're capable or not.
Yep.
So then they'll be fine. They're a big company.
Yeah, they will.
They're too big to fail.
And also, let's remember that the Airbus A380 had similar issues like this, though not as widespread, when that made its debut a few years ago.
I'm waiting for supersonic planes.
We tried those, and capacity went out. In the 1970s, it was either the Concorde for supersonic or the Boeing 747, and capacity went out.
I'm sure if you're rich enough, you might get to New York really, really quick. You'll do it.
Yep. All right. That's it for tech news. Do you want to take us through a skill of the month update?
All right. January skill of the month. So let me take a look and real quick. And we have another lead change. We have Jason at 9. Let's see. There we go. Who gained 3.7 million XP. We have Jason B, who got 3.6 million XP. And we have Mormumska in third place with 3.3 million. So you three are still neck and neck. And then we have Parnassius at 3 million. And we have James Andy 52 at 1.4 million at fifth place.
Good work, everyone. Keeping it an actual race here.
Yes, so it's going to be an interesting month.
And we got four of them up at the top.
Yeah, all really close.
That's nice. All right. Moving on from that, achievements of the week. We got one of them this week, and that would be Jason72 with 99 woodcutting on the 17th of January. Congratulations to you.
Excuse me.
That's all pretty, right.
Pretty sure this has to do with what's going on this month, isn't it?
What's that?
Both Jasons are up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So, time for a pick. I'm going again this week. This pick, I think, is self-explanatory based on your reaction. So tell what the reaction was when I showed you this.
God, do I have to?
Yes, please.
I don't even remember what I said.
Okay, well, let's try this again. This is a visualization showing factorization. So, you know how when you have a number and you want to break it down into smaller numbers like primes? That's what we call prime factorization. So, 1 is prime, 2 is prime, 3 is prime, 4 is not prime, 5 is prime, etc. So, essentially what this does is it shows a little picture based on prime factorization. So, for example, 25, that factors down to 5 times 5. So that shows 5 blocks, and each one of these blocks has 5 other blocks in it because that's prime factorization, factored to 5 times 5. So when this factors down to a prime, it shows as just a plain old ring because if it has a ring, it can't be grouped with anything, so you just factor it down. So 17 is a ring of 17 circles. And then if we move on to 17 from 18, 18 factors down to 3 times 3 times 2, which we know is 9 times 2, which is 18. So that means that we have 3 sections of 2 in one block, and then we have 3 of those in total. It's quite amazing to watch, and it'll continue on for as long as you want. It would make a nice screensaver, actually. The only problem is that once you reach a very high number on the order of trillions or billions, it becomes very hard to factor these numbers. So, nonetheless, just have a look at the picture here in the link at update.rsbnb.com, and it will just continue to move on, and it does like a nice little dance. So definitely have a look at this, even if you don't like math.
All right, and yeah, it's also good because it shows you all the prime numbers, which, you know, if you don't know what a prime number is, you will now. So you
want
to tell them
what a prime number is? Just a pure circle here.
You want to know what the definition of a prime number is?
Okay, for anybody that doesn't know, the definition of a prime number is a number that doesn't have any factors, which means is that it can only be divided by one and itself.
Okay.
Is that simple enough for you?
Yes, I was trying to keep it fifth grade. Because I know you had the complicated answer soon.
Yeah, and that's what I was starting out with, you know? All right, so that's good. All right. What you been up to?
I didn't do much this past week because classes started, but I...
Which you enjoy so much.
I do. Very funny. I enjoy the classes, not the time. But let's see. So anyway, I did my ports. I'm about 1,000 bamboo short of actually finishing up my workshop. And I've been doing a lot of rune spam because as I'm reading my textbook, I was like, oh, might as well do something with RS.
You're going to get 99 rune crafting?
I'll just say this, depending on how many chapters I have to read, that's how much I'm going to spend on runecrafting. That's all I'm saying. And actually, my Dragonstones were coming in earlier yesterday, so I'm going to be making some of those again. I do love those.
That's nice.
Yes. Patience is a virtue with these things.
Yes.
And yeah, that's about it. And I gave blood earlier today.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Did you get paid?
It was $50 for a lunch on a cruise. I was like, here, give it to the next person. I'm never going to go on a cruise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't get you don't get paid with cash to donate stuff, Shane. They used to do it, but then the problem was people were exploiting the system, and what happened was people who really needed money decided to donate more than they should. And let's just say they became very, very sick.
Well, that's not allowed. That would have they need better screening for that.
That's why they do now. But that was this is like,
you know,
60s.
You know, one thing I don't understand is why we don't get prisoners to donate blood if there's ever a shortage.
Well, if you think about it, most prisoners have tattoos. You cannot have a, you cannot donate blood if you have a tattoo, and most of them are drug users. Those are already ruled out. Most of them already have some kind of mental, some kind of disease with them, associated with them. Can use that either.
Okay.
So you basically rule out, 95% of the prison population. And the ones that aren't crazy, well, yeah, I don't think they'll do that for free.
Okay.
They like my blood.
As for me, this... Okay, and what is that?
Basically means I'm basically a universal donor. I can give blood to almost everybody. Type AB is when you can receive blood from almost everybody.
Okay. Well... as for me this week, I've been running a few errands. In RuneScape, I have been doing Slayer. I did a few Slayer tasks until the update this week, until I got the ranged Black Demons, which took forever due to my bolt issue. So I am definitely looking for a new ranged weapon. And in order to do that, I decided, I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to go to Barrows, and I'm not leaving Barrows until one of two things happens. One, Jagex introduces a droppable crossbow and bolts that is one-handed at level 70 or 80 from a Slayer monster or something, or until I get a Carl's pistol, either offhand and main, or both, because I could use one of those, and quite frankly, those are very expensive, street price and on the exchange, as is the arms wand. So that's my main reasoning for doing Barrows right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been up to on there.
Try using adamantium bolts, if that works for you. See if that works for you.
See, no, it doesn't, because I need a level 70 crossbow for that to use diamond bolts E, which is what I was going to try.
No, adamantium bolts, not E or anything. Just regular.
No, that would be even worse than rune.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I thought you were using broadhead bolts.
I was using broad bolts, so those have the same stats as rune.
Okay.
But they're cheaper. Yeah. And that's about it. I will take this chance to warn people that I am disappearing in February for 3 weeks. So we will be leaving the show again in capable hands here. We are working on contingency plans as to how it will be recorded, how it will be edited and whatnot, and what if one of these methods fails. So we are working on that. And the show will appear in your feed at the usual time. You will be handling production and booking people for this, so I'll leave that in your capable hands, just like I did last summer.
Yeah. And I have less stress to worry about, too.
What do you mean?
I don't have to do so much of the editing. You have your peons to do it for us.
Yes, that's right. I wouldn't call them peons, though, because they're very nice people.
Oh, Shane, look at this. I have a RuneSpan daily thing. Ha ha.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, you can go do that. I think we're finished for this episode, so I will be here next week. So next week is my last week for 3 weeks, so keep that in mind when asking your questions for next week.
Yes, and I will obviously post who's going to be my co-host for a while. After we figure out how all the time issues and everything else, we should be good.
Yep. All right. With that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone. Have a good weekend and enjoy Prime Factorization.
and another fine day of RuneScape to you all.